Amen. So we're going to read from Genesis, for those of you that have Bibles, and Genesis beginning in chapter 11 at verse 27, Genesis 11, 27. So whether it's a turning of page or a click of screen, however you access the Bible these days, please do follow along. This passage into chapter 12 contains some of the most famous words, I think, in Genesis that no doubt will be familiar to those of you who have been around the church for any period of time. But we start the reading a little earlier than the famous section because I'd like us this morning to understand the context and the story. So, Genesis 11, verse 27. This is the account of Terah. Terah became the father of Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran became the father of Lot. While his father Terah was still alive, Haran died in Ur of the Chaldeans, in the land of his birth. Abram and Nahor both married. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah. She was the daughter of Haran, the father of both Milcah and Iscah. Now Sarai was barren. She had no children. Terah took his son Abraham, his grandson Lot, son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, the wife of his son Abraham, and together they set out from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. Terah lived 205 years, and he died in Haran. The Lord had said to Abraham, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abraham left, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all of the possessions they'd accumulated and the people they'd acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan. And they arrived there. Wonderful. This is a story of journey. So, recognizing those famous words, the commissioning of Abraham, where God speaks to Abraham about being a blessing to all nations, we recognize this happened as part of a journey, a very significant journey, both for Abraham, but also in the story of God making himself known to the whole world. The world that God had created, the people now scattered in all directions, God's desire to make himself known, to be known by those whom he created, in relationship with those whom he created. How would that happen? Well, this is the journey that we begin to take a little snapshot of for a few minutes this morning. The first thing that I'd like us to notice, and the reason why I've started this reading maybe slightly before the famous section, is to recognise that Abraham was on a journey that in fact his father, Terah, had started some time before. Not quite sure how much time before, but some time before. Actually, the ancestral land was Ur of the Chaldeans, and they'd set off from that land on a journey to Canaan, we're told, at the end of chapter 11. But, and we don't know why, they stopped and they settled in this place called Haran. Now, it could have been for all kinds of reasons. It could have been because, well, the journey ahead seemed too threatening. There was some problem on the road ahead. There was concerns about the journey, and so they decided to stop for a period of time. It could have been because there was something attractive about that place, Haran, something that made them feel like we want to stick around here and not move on. Who knows? It could have been that there was some personal circumstance in the life of Terah and his family that led to them stopping in Haran for this time. What's clear, though, is that they definitely settled there. It wasn't like some motel along the road on their way to their destination. They settled there for some time. In fact, Terah grew old and died. The patriarch of the family passed away in this place, Haran. And it's only when God speaks to Abraham that the journey continues. Almost like a little bit of a tap on Abraham's shoulder by God that reminds Abraham that you were on a journey that your father set off on quite some time ago. We've not got there yet. Carry on. Get back on the road. We've not got to the destination that I intended for you, is almost what we kind of hear implied in what God speaks to Abraham. I look at my life and I do see periods of time where I've been settled. Now, please don't hear me wrong. I'm not saying that being settled is a bad thing. And particularly when we've known upheaval of one variety in life, which of us haven't in the last 2 years, then there's something very attractive about a settled place, isn't there? Where everything is known, where it's familiar to us, where there's some sense of safety and security in life. And I think for periods of our lives, that can be a blessing. But I do wonder whether in my life sometimes, maybe in your life individually, sometimes in the lives of our witness as churches to our communities around us, that settled place becomes home. But we've not quite got to the destination that God's called us to yet. It becomes our Haran. And what God says to us is, get back on the road. Journey on. I do have plans for you. I want to make myself known to all people on earth through you. Get back on the road. Now that might mean a physical road, a journey to a new place. We've spoken this morning of those who you're supporting, both overseas, who've journeyed overseas, and those who have journeyed from other places who are missionaries in the southwest. The Claytons who we just prayed for were originally from the Midlands, then served in Ibiza with 24/7 prayer, for those that know it, then moved back to the Midlands again and felt God call them to Cornwall. The guys that are in Penzance, the Golders that you saw on the screen, were WEC missionaries in Kyrgyzstan for many years, then moved to minister in churches in Derby and felt God call them down to the southwest. These are stories of people that have needed to physically move as God's challenged them to get back on the road and get going again. Maybe it's not, though, a geographical move. Sometimes it's possibly a psychological getting back on the road. Sometimes a spiritual getting back on the road. Moving from the security of a settled place, much as settled can be good sometimes. I heard someone say, boring at the moment is incredibly underrated. And I think most of us would have some sympathies with that viewpoint, would we not? I'm not saying that settled is bad necessarily. I'm saying, are we really open to hearing God challenge us to move from that settled place and onwards? The world is full of opportunities that God has for us. And whatever age we are, from the youngest to the oldest, God has plans and purposes for us. Even if it's not necessarily a physical move, it could be, but if it's not a physical move in another way, the question remains is, what is God calling you to do to serve him? How is God using you to make himself known to the nations of the world? Starts with people in your house, those who you mix with, at college, at work, in social groups, your neighbours and your friends. At very least, how is God using you to reveal who he is, his goodness, his love, his compassion to the nations of the world? This all sounds great, and in many ways, of course, if I was doing my job, I would want to enthuse you and possibly leave you on that high, say thank you and good night, walk out the building and leave you to it. We've got a little bit of time this morning, so I feel like maybe I'm not doing my job properly if we don't actually look at the next little bit. because we realise that, not that I can pull the wool over your eyes, or indeed that I would try to, but this whole sense of moving on at God's command is full of excitement and opportunity, but there are significant challenges with it as well. Here is the first verse of chapter 12. The Lord said to Abraham, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land that I will show you." We read past it very quickly, partly because we like the next bit of the verse and the following few verses. They're the fun bit. This is huge. This is immense. Go from your country. Your country. This, if you like, symbolises for us the familiar lampposts. The landmarks within which we find security. Maybe there is a place in your life, there isn't for some people, but maybe there is a place in your life that you go back to that's felt secure, that's felt like home. And when you go back to those places, as you drive down familiar roads, as you see familiar landmarks, these are the things that give you that sense of home, that sense of security, peace, if you like. You breathe a little easier. Pray that for most of you, it's round here that that's the case for. But there might be other places in your life as well. That sense of familiarity, in Abraham's case, it had become Haran. That sense of familiarity is what God calls us sometimes to leave behind for the sake of his mission. That's a big deal. We don't leave that behind lightly. We recognise, dare I say, there to be some sacrifice for us, for the call of God. From our country and... click is working very well. From our country, from our people is the next one. From our people, our families, our people are the communities in which we live, the friendships that we've got, that sense of feeling like we are part of a community. That is really, really important to us in our lives. To leave behind those things is not easy. And even less easy is it to leave behind our families. Now, in Abraham's case, of course, he took some of his family with him. But your father's household, which God talks about in this particular verse, refers to, particularly in this culture, a real sense of identity. People found identity in their father's household. It was who they were. Even were often referred to as so-and-so, the son of so-and-so. So these family lines in this culture cannot be underestimated. Well, they'd always be so-and-so, the son of so-and-so. But in terms of moving to a different place, no one would know that. There was no sense of being bound within a family, finding some sense of security within a family. And my prayer is for us, where within our families we also experience love and grace and compassion, recognising that very sadly that's not the case for all. So yes, the call is exciting, but there is significant challenge and there is sacrifice that's required of us to follow the call of God on our lives. Again, if I was to stop there, then I think probably it would be, well, very kind of depressing, really. Nice, but no fear, mate. I'm not doing that. It sounds far too difficult. So let's carry on to this last section this morning and look at the following verses. Because here is the promise of Almighty God to Abraham if he chooses to make the sacrifice and leave country and the familiarity of his people and his father's household. Here is the promise of God. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I'll curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. There's a reason why this passage has become so familiar to us, and it's because we talk about our father Abraham, the father of many nations. He had many sons, did Father Abraham. We'll not sing the song. We definitely won't do the actions, at least not this morning. Feel free at home later if you want to. This is significant because this is God's plan, his big plan, through the whole of his story, beginning to play itself out through one family, through Abraham's family. How and why God did that, I do not know. Why God chose to reveal himself in this way is a mystery to me. It was a heck of a risk, to be honest. But this is what God chose to do, to reveal himself to the nations of the world, was through this man, his family, and his descendants that came from. It's so important and so essential. You and I are sat here today because Abraham obeyed the call of God. Now, I think if he hadn't, God would have found some other way, maybe someone else, to reveal himself to all nations of the world. But he didn't need to, because Abraham didn't avoid the call. Abraham said yes, and in obedience left, got back on the road from the settled place, and continued where God was leading him, ultimately to the land of Canaan. Sound familiar? Sermon for another time. This is essential to our recognition. Yes, the journey will be hard. Yes, there will be sacrifice. But if we go where God sends us, the words of that hymn that we just sang together, where you need me, talking about God's people and holding them in our hearts, if this is our experience, then we'll know God using us for his purposes, for his kingdom. God revealing who he is to those who are yet to know him through you and through me. God can choose to do that and does in lots of different ways. But the first and foremost, the primary way God chooses to reveal who he is to your friends, to your family, to the people you work with, to those that live in this community, to the people of this world, the way God chooses to do that is through you and me, through his people. It's been the way since this very time. So, what will be our thoughts? What will be our conclusion? I think we've probably got a loop thing going on this, but if we can go to the next slide, that'd be really helpful. And if not, don't worry, it's not the end of the world. That's the one, perfect. We recognise that in this story, the most significant person is Jesus himself. The story of God, revealing who God is to the people of the world. He did that through his son, yeah? He chooses to continue to do it through us. But we recognise that in the life of Jesus, there is journeying. The God who is sent from heaven to earth is now the one that sends us into the world around us. The babe in the manger that travelled not just to the cross of Calvary, but beyond to an empty tomb, to a life eternal that we will be celebrating in just a moment around the communion table. That same one, God incarnate, Jesus Christ, is the one who commissions you and I to continue on that journey. The one which we've just read started back with Abraham. The one which is exhibited in greatest and most purity in the life and work of Jesus himself. That is the God who now commissions you to continue to journey on. So really, the question is what will we do with that? I mean, we can package it up, nice sermon, vicar, or whatever, and call it a day. We can decide that actually probably now is the time for us to put our slippers on and put our feet up, because we've journeyed for quite a long time. Frankly, God, we've done a little bit for you, and so now's the time to put our feet up. All the best in looking for that passage in Scripture, to be honest. But you can give that a go if you want to. Or we can leave with an emboldened determination that actually the journey is not yet finished for any one of us, whatever our age, that God does have plans to use us to reveal himself to the peoples of this world. That might well involve sacrifice for us. It won't be easy, but that in doing so, we will know the promises of God in our lives and experience that blessing of God through us, exhibited in the lives of those who are yet to know him. And that in faith, we believe that when God makes himself known to those people, they will surely turn to him and choose to follow him as well as we have. This can be our steely exit from this point, from this sermon. We're going to come to the table in just a moment again. And as we do, I'd like it to be, if you like, our response, our reflection. As we come to the Lord's table, we come recognising not only that there are things that we have done which maybe we oughtn't, but sometimes there are things that God has asked us to do that we haven't. Sometimes within that, there might just be the sense of, I've settled. I've put the slippers on. This is my haran, if I'm bold with myself. And maybe today, as we do that, we confess before God, God, I hear your voice, and I want to journey on. Give me the strength for whatever is the sacrifice prepared. Give me the boldness to get back on the road again today, and lead me to the place that you have for me. Let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that in this point in our generations, Lord, we recognise that maybe through circumstance, through trauma, Lord, maybe through all kinds of different reasons, some of us have not only found a settled place, but are glad to be in a settled place. Well, Lord, for those of us that need that at this point in time, may we know your peace. But Lord, even those of us that are in that place at this present point, help us to remain open to you. Expectant, Lord, that you'll call us to journey on, because our work is not yet done. Help us to recognise that you will give us all that we need to serve you in this world, whether we have most of our lives ahead of us, or whether we're feeling like we've walked a long way along the road already. Lord, help us to recognise that, Lord, the journey does go on. Lead us to the place that you will have for us. May we be channels of your blessing to those around us. May we be your people serving you and your kingdom in this world around us. Hear our prayer. Amen. Amen. We're going to, as we come to the Lord's table, sing just a wonderful devotional hymn, How Deep the Father's Love for Us. Let's recognise God's compassion on all that he has made, represented in the death and resurrection of the one who we follow, Jesus. Please stand with me and let's sing together.